take your Bibles this evening, and I want you to turn to the book of Exodus. Exodus, you turn, please, to Exodus chapter number 22. Exodus chapter 22, while you're turning, I'll tell you the title. The title this evening is this, The Financial Mistake of Stealing. The Financial Mistake of Stealing. Again, the financial mistake of stealing. Now, you're at Exodus chapter 22. Why don't you go ahead and stand? And I'm going to read a good handful of verses. But first, I'm going to read from another passage. You don't have to turn to it. I'm going to read to you from Exodus chapter 20, verse number 15. This is what we would call one of the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20:15 says, Thou shalt not steal. Only four words, but very pointed. It's very clear. God is not in approval of the thing of stealing. Now, Exodus chapter 22, starting with verse number 1, and I'm going to read, I'm going to read about a dozen verses. Stay with me as we go through this. Exodus 22, starting with verse 1, it says, If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore five oxen for an ox, and four sheep for a sheep. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. If a man shall cause a field or vineyard to be eaten, and shall put in his beast, and shall feed in another man's field, of the best of his own field, and the best of his own vineyard, shall he make restitution. If fire break out and catch in thorns, so that the stacks of corn or the standing corn or the field be consumed therewith, he that kindleth the fire shall surely make restitution. If a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to be kept, and it be stolen out of the man's house, if the thief be found, let him pay double. If the thief be not found, then the master of the house shall be brought unto the judges to see whether he have put his hand unto his neighbor's goods. For all manner of trespass, whether it be for ox, for ass, for sheep, for raiment, or for any manner of lost things which another challengeth to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and whom the judges shall condemn, he shall pay double unto his neighbor. If a man deliver unto his neighbor an ass or an ox or a sheep or any beast to keep, and it die, or be hurt, or driven away, no man seeing it, then shall an oath of the Lord be between them both, that he hath not put his hand into his neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall accept thereof, and he shall not make it good. And if it be stolen from him, he shall make restitution unto the owner thereof. Now let me pray. Father, bless us tonight as we study. May the lesson be helpful. God, it's something that has been taught many times through the years. We're not to steal. But God, help us tonight to know why you feel the way you feel about this, and why through the years this teaching has been given. Holy Spirit of God, take the simple words tonight and use them to help all of us to live right and to do right. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. We read earlier from Exodus chapter 20, verse 15, and God made it very clear. He said, Thou shalt not steal. It's a sin to steal. And I'll make this statement maybe a couple of times. I believe that people steal because they're lazy. They're lazy. You see, they wanted to get something without labor. And so stealing has a lot to do with laziness. Now, for a moment, I want to give a few statistics. And all of this, these statistics, I'm going to read them after I give you some definitions. There's a word, it's called property crime. Property crime. It's talking about when people steal or take the property of someone else. You say, what exactly is, how do they define property crime? It means the stealing of an animal, or arson, or commercial crimes, embezzlement, extortion, fraud, looting, piracy, theft, vandalism. All of those is one taking from another and hurting the owner thereof when they steal or take or destroy the owner's property. The word robbery is stealing by the use of force. The word burglary, that is breaking and entering with the intent of stealing. Larceny, that is stealing at a business level, if you will. Of course, vehicle theft is motor vehicle stealing. Now, today, you deal a lot with what is called identity theft. And that's stealing another's name then so that you can gain their finances or gain financially from having their name or their identity. Now, God has a lot to say in the Bible about this thing called stealing. Now, most people think they're helping themselves financially by stealing. You may help yourself momentarily, but in the long run, you'll destroy yourself. You say, why? Because God hates it. And if you do something that God hates, you can't be helping yourself. God gives us all that we have. And he said, thou shalt not steal. You see, if we truly believe that what you have, God gave you, if I take from you what you have, it actually came from God. So from who am I stealing? In essence, I'm stealing from God. And God is not going to bless when you're stealing from God. Exodus chapter 22, verse 1 through 12, if you were listening, it over and over again, it talked about stealing. It talked about setting fire to someone's property, and that would be vandalism, or that would be arson, if you will. But what is it? It hurt somebody financially. You took something from them in that act. Now, tonight the sermon couldn't get any simpler. The lessons couldn't get any simpler. I'm not going to say anything that you don't already know, but I think we need to be reminded of the difference between right and wrong. And financially, I believe that when we steal, we are destroying ourselves financially. Let me get started. Number one, the command of thou shalt not steal is found both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. It's in both places. I read to you a moment ago from Exodus chapter 20, verse 15, which is one of the Ten Commandments where it says thou shalt not steal. Then, in the New Testament, it says this, in Matthew 19:18, it says, he saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. In Romans 13:19, it says, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. So both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, he makes it very clear. He says, thou shalt not steal. Now, you say, but that's not really a big sin. Did you happen to listen to the other sins it was listed with? He said, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's a big, nasty, vile, wicked sin. Then he said, thou shalt not kill. Wait a minute, that's the taking of a life. That's a big, nasty, vile, wicked sin. Then he said, thou shalt not steal. I'm going to guess that he has stealing by adultery and stealing by murder because he feels like it's a big deal. So I said, number one, the command of thou shalt not steal is found both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Number two, God hates stealing. God hates stealing. So number two is God hates stealing. Isaiah chapter 61, verse number 8, this is how he said it. For I, the Lord, hate robbery. Now, there are many other places in the Bible where he gives tribute to this thing of stealing, but he comes right out and says, I hate it. I hate that. It's not just distasteful to him. It's not just unpleasant to him. He hates it. There are times in the Bible where God very pointedly says, I hate that right there. The worst of sexual perversions, God makes it clear, I hate that, he says. He talks about our pride being something that God hates. But don't lose track of this. God hates stealing. Number three, the Bible teaches that we should not steal from our parents. So number three, don't steal from your parents. Don't steal from your parents. Listen to this verse. Proverbs 28, verse number 24 says, Whoso robbeth his father or his mother, and saith, it is no transgression, the same is a companion of a destroyer. Isn't it amazing? God makes it so clear, we're not to steal from our parents. You say, well, what exactly would that mean? Well, I think young people, when they're living in the home of their parents, should be careful never to steal from their mom and dad. I don't think they ought to get into mom's purse and take that which is not theirs. I don't think they ought to get into dad's wallet and take that which is not theirs. I don't think they ought to ever swipe a check and go cash that check and do what they want. I think if they find money laying around, they're not to take it. I don't think they're to vandalize their parents' things. You remember this thing called property crime. It's vandalism. It's theft. It's damaging something that belongs to someone else. And I think we all understand this, but let me say this. Young people, you live in a home with mom and dad. The things in that house do not belong to you. They belong to your parents. And you're not to destroy them. So, notice what it said. I'll read the verse again. Whoso robbeth his father or his mother, and saith it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer. Now, there's two other parts of this verse that I want to point out to us for a moment. It says, whoever robs their parents is companion of a destroyer. Do you know who the Bible deems the ultimate destroyer? Satan. The Bible says, if you steal from your parents, you are a companion of the devil. That's pretty heavy language. Notice also, it says, whosoever robbeth his father or mother and saith, it is no transgression. You know what that means? Preacher gets up and teaches you that it's a sin against your parents and a sin against God for you to take from your parents, and you deny that it's wrong. Said, you see, there are some that will deny the transgression of stealing from their parents. Let me tell you this also, and you'll hear me say this just every once in a while. If you are a grown adult and you borrow from your parents, you are to pay them back. Because if you do not pay them back, that's akin to stealing. Try this. Go to the bank, borrow $5,000, walk in and say, I want to borrow $5,000, and then don't pay it back. What's going to happen to you? They're coming to get you. You could be thrown in jail if you let it go far enough. So just because they are your parents doesn't make it right. Now look, the word borrow is key here. If you say to your parents you're going to borrow, then you're intending to pay it back. And parents, and I would tell you this also. I think parents sometimes are so merciful because their children do not do what they should do. There are parents that will just go ahead and forgive. Truth of the matter is, the parent shouldn't have had to forgive, hoping to salvage a relationship, if the child would have respected the parent enough to pay it back like they were supposed to. But some parents are careful enough that they don't want to destroy a relationship between them and the child, they say, well, let's forget about it. And I know that may make you uneasy, but I think reality needs to be faced and responsibility needs to be lived. You need to live up to the responsibility in life. And hey, if mom and dad forgive, that's their business and they can. But wouldn't it be sad if they forgave because they knew you weren't going to pay it anyway and they didn't want to have a breach in the relationship? You say, well, if you go ahead and pay it and they want to give it to you, let them. But the verse says, and listen to it, whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith it is no transgression is the same as a companion of a destroyer. Okay, let's move on. Number four. People who try to get to heaven any other way than by grace through faith are considered robbers and thieves. People who try to get to heaven any other way than by grace through faith are considered robbers and thieves. Listen to John chapter 10, verse number 1. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. The door here, that's Jesus. You and I, the people, are the sheep. He is the shepherd. He purchased our way to heaven for us. How? Through his death, through his burial, and through his resurrection. By the way, someone said, hey, you can't, going to heaven has nothing to do with working. Oh, yes, it does. It's not your working. It was Jesus's working. He paid the price. So he, through his labor of death, burial, and resurrection, paid and made a free ticket to heaven available to us. For someone to try to get to heaven by their own works is robbing Jesus of his finished work and sacrifice that he made on our behalf. So that's why it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief or a robber. So when someone thinks they're going to get to heaven and they're going to do it their way, God says, you're stealing thunder, if you will, from Jesus Christ. He already paid for that. So we're not to steal God's plan. We're to accept his plan for salvation. Let me go on. Number five. Stealing a man's way of earning his living is extra wrong. Stealing a man or a person's way of earning their living is extra wrong. If you were listening when we were reading in Exodus chapter 22, the scripture said this, Exodus 22:1, it says, if a man steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore five oxen for an ox or four sheep for a sheep. Now, in this time in the Bible, a man would have used an ox like a plow. So what's happened in this story, somebody stole somebody's tractor, or somebody, an ox would pull a plow, would be like a tractor, would be like a piece of farm equipment. So in this story, God is saying, if you stole a man's tractor, you're in trouble. Matter of fact, he even said, you steal one ox, the restitution or the payback is you now owe him five. You say, why? Why would it be that way? Well, if you steal his ox, he can't go to work. He not only lost his ox, he lost a day's wage. Maybe a couple days' wage. Who knows? But there, you have caused him a setback, not just the loss of the ox, but the loss of the income that he would have earned had you not stolen his ox. So, that means this. If you steal a truck driver's truck, God said, you don't only owe him a truck, you ought to pay a penalty for stealing that truck because that was his way of earning his living. If you steal a plumber's wrenches, you not only owe him for the wrenches, but you are going to be penalized because of the amount of money that he could have made when he was using those wrenches. And that's why it said you steal one ox, you ought to pay back five oxen. And so God says he considers it an exceptional sin when you steal someone's way of earning their living. Number six, the Bible mentions that some have stolen God's word. The Bible mentions some have stolen God's word. Jeremiah 23:30. Some have stolen God's word. It says this, Jeremiah 23:30. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words. How dangerous. Stealing God's word. Now, how would somebody steal God's word? Maybe it's those people that are taking words away from the King James Bible for all their modern perversions. What right does man have to steal God's words? And the Bible here in Jeremiah 23:30, God is against the prophets or preachers who are stealing his words. And they have... And you understand that the words then are a part of the truth that is being expressed. So they're stealing truth. It's not just words. Words put together reflect the truth of God. So God said there are those that will actually try to steal my word. I have a whole Bible study, and maybe I think I preached it here in our church a good handful of years ago, where I talked about how many times they took Jesus' name and God's name out of the Bible as they were changing it. And you know, they say there's all sorts of words we want to take out so they're easier to understand. Well, look, you don't need to take Jesus' name out. You don't need to take God out. Matter of fact, you don't need to take any of them out. You say, but we wonder if we don't understand it. Maybe you need to get an understanding of the words, and maybe you're the one that ought to change, but not God's word change. What makes us think that we have to change it? Maybe we're supposed to change us. Okay, let's go on. Number seven. Don't get me all wound up. Somebody asked me. They asked me. I had a cup of coffee before church. I'm careful to do that because I can get a little wild. I did have coffee. Number seven. Don't steal from God. Don't steal from God. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, it's verses that we hear a lot, at least most people have. Let me read them again, and let me touch on this quickly. Malachi 3, 8 and 9, it says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Sounds to me that God looks at a nation to see if they love him by their giving to him. I'm going to guess America's in a little bit of trouble because I'm going to guess there's all sorts of people out there that do not tithe. But you and I, we should not rob God in the tithe or in the offering. Now, do you remember at the very beginning of tonight's lesson, I gave you some definitions. I gave you the definition of property crime and robbery and burglary and larceny and vehicle theft and identity theft. Do you remember the definition of robbery? It is stealing by use of force. That's what robbery means. Listen to Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. It sounds like there's almost some violence involved when we steal the tithe. But not just the tithe. The offering. Let me explain something so you understand it. When you steal the tithe, God sees it to a degree as a violent behavior. And you will not prosper. You will not prosper. Don't rob God in the tithe. Don't rob God in the offering. And let's go on. Number eight. Don't steal loyalties or fellowship. Don't steal loyalties or fellowship. I'm going to read to you from 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 6. It says this, and on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Absalom had become disloyal to his king. He then stole the hearts of the king's people. Let me say something to you. I am a firm believer in promoting mom and dad to their children. I would never want to steal the loyalty of a boy or a girl from their parents. I am 100% for husbands being loyal to wives and wives being loyal to husbands. It is wicked, the thought that a man would try to steal the loyalty of another man's wife. Or a woman would steal the loyalty of another person's husband. And I even believe this. I think we ought to be loyal to the Word of God. I don't think anybody ought to ever try to deviate our loyalty from the Word of God. I believe this. I have worked very hard in my years as working at the church. I've always tried to express loyalty to my spiritual leadership. But I have, in all the years I've been serving God, every once in a while I'll meet somebody that comes along and starts to sow discord in the ranks, and they begin to draw loyalties away from the church leadership. And I don't think church leadership is 100% right all the time. But I do know this. It says here in 2 Samuel 15:6 that Absalom stole the hearts of the loyal people to the king. And he was wrong. And he did wrong. And so, you know, he was punished pretty severely for it as well. So, we're not to steal loyalties. I have a problem. You cut me. I bleed red, white, and blue. I love the United States of America, and I just got this thing. That people that come to our country and try to destroy the loyalties that we have to our country, I've got a problem with that. I really, really do. Now, I realize America is a free country, but I'll remind you of something. Your freedom stops where my nose starts, so keep yourself out of my business. And my business is I love America, and I have a problem with people that want to come to our country and destroy our loyalty. It's okay to love your country. Now, I don't think America's perfect. I do not think that for a second, but she's a far cry greater than most every other country on the face of this earth, and it's still my country. So I don't think people ought to be taking away from us loyalty to good and right things. Let's go on. Number 9. Stealing a person is punishable by death according to the Bible. Stealing a person is punishable by death according to the Bible. If you were listening when we read from Exodus chapter 21, we came to verse I don't think we read all the way through verse 16. I think we read through verse 12. So let me read to you. Exodus 21 verse 16 says this, "And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely put to death." In other words, someone has kidnapped or they've stolen a human being. Have you heard of human trafficking? It's all over the place. It's all around the world. Here, God says, if someone steals a person and sells them, the one that stole the person should be put to death. Or, if someone steals a person and they're even found in the possession of the thief, they're to be put to death. So, kidnapping is punishable by death. I cringe every time you walk by the bulletin board at Walmart and you see a picture of a missing child. Someone has to be very corrupt and nasty to ever think that they should take somebody's child. And I understand why God would say that needs to be stopped. But the Bible teaches stealing a person is punishable by death. Whether it's a child, whether it's a woman, whether it's a man, kidnapping or human trafficking is wrong. Let's go on. Number 10. Nothing will be stolen in heaven. Nothing will be stolen in heaven. Luke chapter 12, verse number 33 says this, "Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth." In heaven, there won't be sin. Nobody will steal in heaven. I would say, when Lucifer fell, I realize we would say he fell because of pride, and indeed he did. But I think Lucifer fell because he stole loyalty. I think one of the great falls of Lucifer is that Lucifer became disloyal to God in his pride. Now, but in heaven, there will never be another theft. Your investments in heaven are the safest and the truest ones you can have. So you know, obviously I'm a pastor. I've been doing what I do for a long time. But long before I ever became a pastor, I believed that heaven was the safest investment that anybody could make. Because moth can't corrupt. The rewards that you send forward to heaven, they're not going to rust. They cannot be stolen. They can't be diluted. Once they're there, they're secure. They're pure. Might I also say, they multiply. Wow, I think there are people in this room. You gave to God a penny when your daddy handed it to you when you were 24 months old. You put it into the offering plate. Somebody got saved as a result of that one penny that had a part in someone's salvation. Do you understand that that then was an eternal investment? And when we get to heaven, we're going to figure out how big that is. And it will go on and on and on. Someday, you need to let somebody help you do some figuring on what it means to have compounded interest. Now, most of you understand what it is when it's against you. But when it's for you, what you give to God is compounded in the heavenly bank. Nobody has ever sent money to heaven and lost. Ever. All you'll ever see, if you were to glance at the heavenly stock market, it's always green, the arrow's always up, and it's always climbing. There was no announcement that panicked heaven's stock market that caused people to retract and sell. There's no Fed in heaven. So, there will be no stealing in heaven. Let's go on. Number 9. No, I don't know what number I'm on. Nah, I think it's number 11. Or maybe it's number 40. Probably feels like it to some of you, doesn't it? Number 11. Stolen items are to be replaced and all damages are to be repaid. Stolen items are to be replaced and all damages are to be paid. Exodus chapter 22, verse number 12 says this, "And if it be stolen from him, he shall make restitution unto the owner thereof." Restitution means paying back with any damage that would have been a result of the stealing. So, if you steal somebody's bicycle, and the person that rode that bike to work. If they couldn't get to work because you stole that bike, you get caught. Now you owe them for the bike. But you also owe them for the time off that they lost or the money they lost because they could not go to work. Now, if when you had that bike, you drove it through a field of nails and it got flat tires, I was grasping for an illustration and it wasn't coming quickly. I don't like it when this happens. Be quiet. You're not helping me. So now you need to replace their tires. That's what restitution is. If someone steals, the reason why many times when someone steals something, there is multiple fines or penalties. And if it goes before a judge, the judge will say, not only are you going to replace the car, but you're going to replace a certain amount of money beyond the car. And you might say, well, that doesn't seem fair. It's probably less than fair. because of the damage and the loss. And now we understand that when we're the ones that suffer the loss, but so many times if we're the ones that cause the loss, we feel like there's an injustice, when most of the time the injustice is the one who lost their item. Okay? So stolen items are to be replaced and all damages related should be paid. Number 12. The Bible just says this, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him laboring work with his hands the things which is good. Now, the Bible tells us this. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. What God is saying is, if you stole when you were lost, now that you're saved, steal no more. Steal no more. I think Christianity cuts down on theft. Now, it says, let him that stole steal no more. Then it says, but rather let him laboring work with his hands. Do you remember almost the very first statement that I made? I said, stealing is the result of lazy people. Notice he said, those that stole, steal no more. What's the answer? Go to work. Earn your living. Work hard. Do it like everybody else. Get up in the morning, sweat, toil, work at it. God said that's the answer. Parents, if you would like for your children not to steal, I'll tell you what you need to do. Teach them to work. Teach them to work. Well, there are many other things that could be said about this. But I'm going to give you some statistics real quickly. Now, these go back to really 2 years ago, but listen to this. When it comes to what we call property crime, and this is over a 12-month period, 365 days in America, what is called property crime, there were 7,694,086 incidents of property crime in America. In that same year, robberies, 319,356 robberies in 1 year. Burglaries, 1,401,840 burglaries. Larcenies, 5,519,107, and larceny is business associated theft. Vehicle theft, in 1 year in America, 773,139 vehicles were stolen. Now, these statistics were compiled by the Disaster Center, which came from the an FBI annual crime report. Now, I want to say something to you, and I'm not going to talk about it or teach on it, but I really wish you'd take it seriously. Identity theft in 1 year. 16.7 million victims. Can I recommend that you're careful on the internet? You're careful giving out information. Be cautious. Now, there's a right way to do it. You do not have to hibernate. You don't have to become recluse over this. But there are right and wrong ways of doing it. Watch how you use your credit card and your information. And young people, you be very careful ever sharing mom and dad's information. You be very careful. Picture that. 16.7 million victims of identity theft. And that's where someone takes your social security number or your identification numbers and they use it. They spend money of yours, or they'll even spend money that's not yours in your name. Now remember what the Bible says. Exodus chapter 20, verse 15. Four words. Thou shalt not steal.